Well, I appreciate the opportunity tonight to gather in on a Sunday night, be able to sing together, pray together, share with each other, be able to look into the Word of the Lord a little bit and see what the Lord has for us. This is what it's all about. Worshiping the Lord, understanding how to be dependable disciples of the Lord. That's going to mean everything. And I want to be faithful. As the song was sung just now, I want to be faithful to those that come behind me. I want to live my life in a way that others can follow safely. I'd like to spend a little bit of time tonight and look at a passage in the 9th chapter of Matthew. Maybe we can look at this chapter together a little bit. If I had a title, I guess it would be The Priority of Christ. Like to think about that subject a little bit as we read this account. Again, this is Matthew 9, and we'll start in verse 1. It said, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy." Does anybody know what palsy is? Paralysis. So the man was paralyzed. And he was lying on a bed. "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." I'd like to notice the works of the Lord that we just read about this evening, but not only what He did, but also the order in which Christ performed and accomplished His works. I feel like that this lesson teaches us, this account teaches us some very important lessons that I'd like to capture this evening. When we read this account, what seemed to precipitate the miracles that we just read about? What was it that, had it been absent, we may not even be reading about this account? Was it that the Lord felt like He was being challenged by somebody to do something great, so because He was put in a corner, He decided He was going to perform a miracle? Is that what caused these miracles to take place? Anybody think that's the reason? Do you think that maybe what the Lord was wanting to do was just prove to some of these ungodly men just how powerful He was? No, I don't think that's what it was either. What did it say? It said, "Behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." Well, there was a lot of sick people around. The Lord passed by a lot of sick people. There are people that had had needs. All the multitudes had needs all around him, every day, everywhere he went. But listen to what this said. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. So it sounds like the reason why Jesus was able to say, Son, be of good cheer, was because he saw their faith. And because he saw faith, it was that faith that they had in him that then caused the Lord to do, well, he performed three miracles that we'll read through this evening. Faith. Folks, it cannot be understated this evening how important it is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, maybe we'll write that on the board. Faith is a must. How do we get faith? Anyone? Experience. Probably going to run out of room. I'll make this small as a reminder. You all aren't intended to be able to read what I'm writing. Experience. What else?
Trials.
I mean, do we just wake up one day or come to church and then we hear a message on faith and then someone says, starting right now, I'm going to have faith. And all of a sudden, they have all of the faith that they need for the rest of their lives. I mean, can we just, one scripture says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. And I've wondered before, well, what if you're not hungry? Do you just say, okay, well, I'm going to be hungry now. I'm going to thirst.
Observation.
Okay, observation.
Obedience.
Did you know that you have to nurture a hunger and thirst if you want to be hungry? People who lose their appetite, to regain their appetite, they have to eat. You have to nurture an appetite. I'm talking about people who haven't eaten for a long time. Not talking probably about us. You nurture an appetite. You start eating whether you feel like it or not. If you know it's right to do, you go ahead and you apply yourself to that which is right, whether or not you feel like it completely or not. Faith comes by, as Sister Janelle said, experience. It comes through trials, which falls under experience. That's experience. Obedience. We know it's right. We know to live right. And so we give ourselves to it. And then what happens is we begin to observe the results of what happened when we gave the loaves and the fishes. Lord, I don't have faith to think that the multitudes are going to be fed with what I have, but I'll give you what I do have. I have the loaves and the fishes here, Lord, and we give what we do have to the Lord. We apply the faith that we do have. We use the talents that God has given us. Maybe I don't have five, maybe I have one, but I use the one. I don't go bury it. I use it. And as I use it, and I find through obedience and experience that talent turned into two in ways I never expected, all of a sudden my faith begins to take hold that, well, maybe if the Lord was able to do that, He would also be able to do this greater thing over here. And so I just want to encourage us tonight that for God to work mightily in our lives, throughout the course of our life. Faith is a must. We're going to have to be able to come to the Lord with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
And when we come to Him to have a depth of desire.
Yes.
And as we have that, He is going to send some things. It's going to allow that faith to grow. It might not be pleasant, but it's going to be precious.
Amen. One man came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And the man said, "Yes, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." That desire, that depth of desire. "Lord, I believe, but help me in those areas where I don't believe." Folks, we have to give ourselves. We have to invest into our relationship with Jesus Christ if we expect our faith to increase. Faith was what started all of these miracles that just happened. And I don't think that tonight the importance of growing and nurturing your faith can be understated. Okay, well, let's look at what happened next. So after he saw the man's faith, now, what did the man come to Jesus again for? Pardon?
Healing.
Healing. Of what? Palsy. Isn't that what it said? He was sick with palsy and he was paralyzed, and so he had to have some men carry him in. They had to go to some work here. They thought about this. They had to pick him up. He couldn't just walk there on his own. So he came to Jesus to receive healing of palsy. And the Lord knew that. And the man came and Jesus saw his faith and he said, "Son, be of good cheer." And then what did he do next? Heal him of his palsy? No. That wasn't what happened next, was it? What did he do? He forgave him. He healed. He cleansed his soul. It said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now we have a man who is sick with palsy, but he's been forgiven of his sins. Do you know what it must feel like? Do you know what it does feel like? When Jesus forgives you of your sins? When you've carried a heavy load and the Lord comes along and He takes His eraser and He says, "All of those things that you did that were wrong and that were sinful and that would keep you out of heaven and are unlike me and unrighteous, you're forgiven." And He erases them away to be brought up no more. What a liberating feeling. So now we have a man who has palsy, but he's feeling really good. He's never felt like this probably before in his life. Jesus Christ spoke words of forgiveness to him. And this is the main point of the little service tonight. Our soul is Jesus' first objective. That's His first objective. Soul, His first objective. Yes, He does many things for us. But the reason that Jesus came was to cleanse and make our souls whole in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should be healed of all physical problems? Should have all temporal needs met? No. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Should not perish how? Should not perish in sin. but that we would have everlasting life with the Father. Not necessarily our physical life here, but with the Father. That is why Jesus came. And it remains the Lord's primary purpose is to help cleanse us of our sin. It's to help us grow spiritually. It's to help work in our lives so that those places where we are spiritually weak, that the Lord would be able to help us in those areas. And it's a challenge to me. You know why? Because as a human being, I am apt to come to the Lord. And my prayers, our prayers, human beings, they can be awfully full of things that will pass away. And it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't want us to bring those things to Him. He invites us to bring all of our cares to Him. Our physical needs, our temporal needs, those things that hurt us. The Lord came to be a balm for our wounds. But did you know the Lord also, He wants us never to lose sight that His primary purpose of coming was to help us in our soul. Let's include those things in our prayers. When we pray in our private places of prayer, when we come before the Lord and ask for help, let's not fail to be willing to say, Lord, help me to see those places in my own life where I am not what You would have me to be. And maybe we should name them out. You're not going to surprise the Lord by telling Him, Lord, I am an impatient person. Lord, I don't typically respond like I should respond to other people. Lord, I feel like I get angry really fast. Lord, that person over there, they really bother me. In fact, it's past bothering me. I can't hardly have a hard time being around them, Lord. You're not going to surprise the Lord with any of that. He already knows that. The Lord wants us to come to Him with those heart issues, because that was the primary purpose He came. And before He ever addressed the palsy, what He first did was He saw the man's faith in him, and He forgave him of his sins. Now, let's see what next miracle, the second miracle that took place. It said, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. This man is impious. This man is speaking injurious things against God up in heaven. He's putting himself equal with Him. Now, they didn't say it out loud. They were saying this in their hearts. And it said, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? How would you feel if you were thinking something in another room? Let's say there were several of you, and everybody was thinking something, and somebody came along and told each one of you what you were thinking. You think it got their attention? I think it would get mine. And you might start to wonder if maybe this man, after all, could indeed reach the places of the heart. I can't do this, but Jesus did. And He performed the second miracle by telling them what they were thinking. And I want to capture that lesson. Jesus knows your heart. And it's a good thing. Sometimes we draw away from the Lord knowing the bad things that we think. Would you like it if the Lord always just saw the the positive things that you thought in your heart. Maybe every time you thought something good and your intent was good and your motive was good, there was a bell beside the Lord and it rang with your name beside it. It went, there they go again. They're thinking good again. But every time you have a bad thought, the Lord never sees that. Would that be a positive thing? That way the Lord could just always view us in really good light. Would that be beneficial to us? Did you know that it's a positive thing that God knows our hearts? It's a positive thing that the Lord recognizes when we have a problem, because He's interested in helping us with that problem. The Lord knows our hearts, and He knew their hearts. And I think that when He told them what they were thinking, He for sure had their attention. Now in verse 5, I want to take note of the question that he asked. Jesus asked him a question. He said, whether is easier? In other words, which one of these is easier? To say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Which one of those would be easier to say? The Lord asked, that was a question He asked them. I don't see where they answered that anywhere. Maybe they probably were afraid to. Probably were afraid to think. Do you have any thoughts? Which one of those would be easier? Would it be easier to tell somebody thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and walk when you have paralysis?
I can't do either.
You can't do either, can you? I can't either. Have you ever noticed? I'm sure you have. It seemed like Jesus, he could say so much in so few words. He could, and He can, get right down to where we live and where other people are in such quick order. And He can say the most profound things in the fewest amount of words. And so He asked them, because they were thinking, who are you, number one, to say thy sins be forgiven thee? Well, which one of them is easier to say? If all I have to do is say the words, they're equally easy for me. If I'm not responsible for anything happening after I say the words, I can say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and take up thy bed and walk. And if there's no expectation for anything to happen, they're equally easy. But if there is an expectation that thy sins are going to be forgiven thee, and you are going to be able to take up your bed and walk, they're equally hard for me to say, because as was just brought out, I can't do either one of them. But if it's Jesus that has power, then they're equally easy for Him. And He was trying to get them to the place where they recognized the truth that He could forgive sins. And He already performed one miracle to prove that He could get to where their heart was without them ever having to say anything. And now He's getting ready to do something else to help prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that He does have the power to forgive sins. So He asked them that question. So what happened? He said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So that was one of the reasons why He asked that question and why He did what He did next. He said, so that you know that the Son of Man, Jesus, hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then He turned to the man and He said, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. So this man arose physically healed, and more importantly, he arose healed in the soul. Jesus performed three miracles in short order. Two of those miracles proved that the third one happened. That in fact the man's sins were forgiven him. He just did two miracles that showed the men that he did things they could never think about doing. And when he got done working with that man went away a changed person. And that's the last lesson that I just wanted to make note of tonight. When we come in contact with Jesus Christ, and we come before Him with faith, that's why faith is a must, we leave a changed person. Jesus leaves us changed. Aren't you glad that it's more than just something that feels good for the moment? So in this little account that we read, we learn that faith is important if we want to leave a changed person, because Jesus wants us to come in faith to Him. Folks, let's apply ourselves to increasing our faith. Let's be deliberate about it. Let's not be passive about our faith. We hear about faith, we say, well, I'd like to have the faith of Abraham. You can have more faith than what you have today if you will give yourself to it. Ask the Lord to help you. Get to know His Word. You know it's hard to have faith in anybody that you don't know? If we get to know Jesus Christ, your faith will increase. Let's begin to work on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's remember that our soul is the first objective of the Lord. I want to be just as concerned about the state of my soul. I want to be just as concerned about where I am spiritually before God as I am all of the other things that I encounter in life. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. And this is the priority of Christ. It's the welfare of our soul. And if that is the priority of Christ, I want it to be my priority. Jesus knows your heart. Be comforted to know tonight that when you cry and when you hurt and when you desire a closer walk with the Lord and you're sorry for the times that you err and make mistakes or sin and fall and you wish that you wouldn't have done it, the Lord sees that. And He knows that. And He logs it, if you'll let me use that illustration. He captures that. And when we err and when we don't have good motives, the Lord captures that too in love so that He can then take steps to try to help us. I'm glad tonight that the Lord knows our hearts. And when we come in faith and when we recognize that our soul is Christ's primary objective, and we come to Him for help in that area, Jesus leaves us changed. I'd like to now conclude and leave you with the message that Jesus gave to the men who came in faith. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. When we push through the press and we do whatever we have to do to reach Jesus Christ, we have something to be cheerful about. He's our friend. He's on our side. He paid a great price for the forgiveness of our sins. He has an expected end for us. He knows our hearts. He wants to leave us a changed person. And thus He was able to encourage them. And He wants to encourage you tonight to be of good cheer. Let's be encouraged this evening that as we approach the Lord, let's approach Him in faith. Let's approach Him with belief. Let's desire more than anything else that our soul be cleansed, that the Lord would be willing to forgive us of our sins, and that we would have a desire to increase in Jesus Christ. Lord, help me that I would grow spiritually. Lord, I have these other needs in my life that affect me, but Lord, please help me to grow in You. And I believe that as we come to the Lord in that manner, in faith, believing, with our soul as our number one priority to do His work, then I believe that we too can go away hearing those words from our Father, "Arise, for thy faith hath made thee whole." Pray for me because I want to be true to my Lord. I want to have my priorities in their right place. And I want to do what is the responsible, godly thing to do. And that is, as I live my life, that I would live in a way to get to know Jesus Christ better, that I would hear His voice and respond, that my eyes of understanding would be opened to the plan and purpose of God and how it is being fulfilled, that my faith would become stronger, that the Lord would be able to do greater things with me and in my life. Amen.